Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SGS Enterprises Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Mehta. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mehta.
Yeah, thanks, Vaibhav. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities, I welcome you all to 1Q FY25 earnings call of SGS Enterprises. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. K.A. Joseph, Managing Director and Co-founder, Mr. Sanjay Thapar, CEO and Executive Director, Mr. Mahendra Naredi, Chief Financial Officer. So, as we do always, we'll start the call with a brief opening remark from the management team, followed by a Q&A session. So, with that, over to you, Mr. Joseph. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction, Ronak. Hello and good morning, everyone. I trust you would have had a chance to look at our investor presentation and the results published yesterday. While Sanjay and Mahendra will take you all through the presentation later, the first quarter of FY25 started with an optimistic note, with overall demand in most of the vehicle segments growing on both year-on-year and also in sequential basis. The growth was primarily driven by strong economic activity and continuous support from the government. Despite geopolitical tensions, supply chain challenges, evolving customer preferences, and inflationary pressures, India has continued to demonstrate strong growth. I'm also pleased to announce that SGS Enterprises has appointed a new Group COO, Mr. Mahendra Singh, with over 25 years of experience in the automotive industry. Mr. Singh's extensive background in operations will be key in managing and expanding our multi-location operations. This position will increase our management bandwidth and drive operational excellence as we continue to scale. Now, coming to some key updates, during the quarter, we continued to achieve strong financial performance and growth trajectory. The increase is largely attributed to the strategic WPI Waterpack acquisition growth and also the growth in automotive and consumer durable segments. For the 19th consecutive quarter, SGS has delivered a better-than-industry growth, primarily driven by Waterpack acquisition, premiumization trends, and innovation. SGS has delivered a strong growth of 60.9% in revenue on YoY basis. The EBITDA margins reached 26.6%, a slight increase from 26.1% in Q1 of FY24. This has been achieved on account of the Waterpack addition and SGS standalone business. Furthermore, I'm excited to announce the addition of Dixon Technologies as a new client, which will open an avenue of growth in the coming quarters. Our plans for new product launches and capacity expansion at Exotech facility in Pune are progressing as planned, setting the stage for future growth. Moving forward, we remain focused on delivering quality products to our customers, driven by premiumization and the adoption of advanced technologies and building long-term relationships with all our stakeholders. We continue to focus on gaining momentum in the plastics and cover glass business, maximizing operational efficiencies while also looking into new prospects and markets for growth. With that said, I would now like to hand over the call to Sanjay to take you all through some of the business and industry highlights for the quarter. Thank you all, and over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Joe. Hello and good morning, everyone. Talking of the quarter gone by, Q1 FY25 was marked by yet another quarter of better-than-industry growth by SGS. Our consolidated revenue growth of 60.9% year-on-year to rupees 1,886.2 million, compared to the 17% YoY growth in the automotive, both two-wheeler and passenger vehicle industry production volumes, This growth was primarily attributed to the successful integration of Waterpik India alongside strong performance in our passenger vehicle, consumer and export businesses. During the quarter, automotive business has grown well for us, both for the domestic market and the export markets, with a 66.6% and a 13% YOY growth respectively. On the back of robust margin performance delivery by all businesses, I am delighted to share that the consolidated EBITDA margin for the quarter improved 33 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis and 51 pips YOY to 26.6%. During Q1 FY25, the company generated strong cash flows of Rs. 397.2 million and our overall cash and cash equivalents at the end of the quarter stood at Rs. 766.6 million and net cash at Rs. 233.7 million. In terms of production volumes, the industry two-wheeler plus passenger vehicle markets grew by 17% year-on-year in Q1 FY25, whereas SCS's two-wheeler and four-wheeler delivered a growth of 43.1%, which was 2.5x the industry growth. This performance was mainly driven by the passenger vehicle segment, despite the industry growth in the segment being only 5.8% YOY basis for this quarter. Overall, SCS consolidated sales saw a substantial YOY increase of 60.9%. Organic growth from SCS and Exotech was 21.1% due to growth across automotive, consumer and export businesses. Our strategy to diversify across various product categories and multiple industry segments coupled with a broad customer base has effectively helped us de-risk this business and reduce dependence on any specific segment. During the quarter, our export revenue grew by 13% year-on-year to Rs. 142 million. The growth was primarily driven by the passenger vehicles segment and the consumer durable segments. We continue to expand our share of wallet by winning new businesses from key customers like Stellantis, Mahindra, Tata, TVS, Honda, Yamaha, Continental, Bajaj Auto, Royal Enfield, Foxconn, Sirma, amongst others. We've also added Dixon as a new customer, and this will open significant new opportunities for us in the consumer durable segment. Before I hand over to Mahindra, I would like to give a quick update on our ESG and CSR initiatives. SGS, our commitment to environment, social and governance responsibilities is integral to our business strategy. Our sustainability initiatives focus on reducing our environmental footprint, promoting social welfare and ensuring ethical governance practices. As a part of our efforts to lower carbon emissions, we are expanding use of renewable energy sources. We are making investments across our group to increase our captive solar capacity from 4 megawatts to 10 megawatts for the FY24-25. Furthermore, our effluent treatment plant and sewage treatment plants have enabled us to recycle significant amounts of wastewater. We prioritize investments in advanced technologies and initiatives focused on promoting eco-friendliness, optimizing natural resource use, and improving energy efficiency. By prioritizing sustainability, we have minimized our environmental impact through operational efficiencies. SCS continues its commitment to foster a diverse range of CSR initiatives. Our focus areas encompass education, skill development, hygiene and health, and various community improvement projects aim to create a lasting social impact. You can also visit our ESG profile, which is placed on our corporate website now. The profile highlights our ESG initiatives that can be easily accessed by all our stakeholders. I would now like to hand over the call to Mahindra, our CFO, to update you on the financial performance of the company before I talk about the future growth outlook. Over to you, Mahindra.
Thank you, Mr. Thapar. Good morning, everyone. Let's delve into the financial snapshot. Slides 11 to 14 provide a concise overview focusing on the consolidated picture of SGS. In Q1, our consolidated revenue reached Rs. 1,886.2 million, showcasing growth of 60.9% YOY basis. This robust performance is attributed to the Volto Pack India addition and a strong contribution from passenger vehicle and consumer segment. Moving to EBITDA, we achieved rupees 505 million, representing a YY growth of 60.8% with a margin of 26.6%, thereby improvement of 33 bps quarter on quarter and 51 bps YOY. Our consolidated PAT for the quarter stood at rupees 282.4 million, demonstrating a robust YOY growth of 56.6% with PAT margin standing at 15%, improving by 42 bps quarter on quarter, primarily due to higher EBITDA margins. Our consolidated ROCE during the quarter stand at 23.3% and ROE at 19.1%. During the quarter, the company achieved robust free cash flow of rupees 397.2 million and our cash and cash equivalent reached rupees 766.6 million with net cash position of rupees 233.7 million. With the addition of Volto Pack products in our portfolio, we have increased range of new generation products that contribute to 25% of our consolidated revenue during quarter 1 FY25. Volto Pack India acquisition has effectively balanced our portfolio across two-wheeler, passenger vehicle and the consumer segment in the right manner. During Q1 FY25, export witnessed growth of 13% YY to rupees 142 million. Q1 25 exports constitute 7.5% of total consolidated sales. As you know, both Exotec and Volto Pack are primarily domestic business and hence export as a percentage of consolidated sales is at 7.5% while exports are 13.5% of SJS standalone results. I would now like to hand back the call to Mr. Thapar to discuss about our future plans and growth outlook.
Thank you, Mahendra. Moving to our outlook for future growth, we are confident that we will continue to outperform the industry growth by over 1.5 times, leveraging our presence in multiple industry segments, our global footprint, extensive product portfolio, very strong customer relationships, and inorganic growth strategies. Our potential content per vehicle for PVs has over the last 2-3 years increased by over 4x. As a one-stop solution provider for aesthetic products, our focus has been to introduce new products and technologies that meet the futuristic needs of our customers and increase our addressable market. Execution of our organic and inorganic strategies will help us achieve a high rate of business growth in technologies that are complementary or an extension of our existing businesses. A key inorganic strategy is to enter new geographies to accelerate our business penetration with key and new customers and significantly enhance cross-selling opportunities for our extensive product portfolio. With our focus on premiumization, we believe we will continue to surpass the industry performance in the future as well. With that said, I come to an end of my quarterly updates. Thank you, and we are now open to answer questions, if any.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Hiranandani from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations to the team for the strong operational performance and many congratulations for adding Dixon to our clients list. Sir, my first question is basically what products we will supply to this Dixon customer and when we can expect the revenue to start flowing in and how large this customer can be in the not too long.
So Dixon, as you know, is an integrated manufacturer of electronics and has many verticals. So currently what we are addressing is their consumer durable segment and their telecom segment. So we've won businesses and these businesses have started in a small manner. We hope that this will scale up very rapidly. Volumes are very large, so we are very excited with this collaboration with Dixon. And I think we still don't have a dam or the number that what can we get each, but all I can say is that this is a very large business which we hopefully should grow in the coming quarters and years.
And from when the revenue will start flowing in?
As I said, we've already started supplies to them for some parts for the telecom segment. We will soon start supplies to their consumer durable segment businesses as well. And we hope to engage with them in a more meaningful manner to take this forward in the future.
Sure, sir. So two bookkeeping questions. What will be the annual total capital expenditure for FY25 and FY26, including any planned expansion? And secondly, could you provide the revenue and EBITDA figures for Exotech and WPI separately, please?
Yes, Amit. So the CapEx said we announced and we told in the last meeting as well, we have a plan for expansion for our subsidiary, especially the Exotech. The investment would be in the range of 80 crore rupees. And we also thinking to expand for our the glass business. There we would going to be incur around 40 crore rupees. And apart from that, there will be a maintenance CapEx to the tune of less around 15 crore rupees per annum. So that will be going to happen in the current and the next year. So roughly you can consider on a broad level around 170 to 180 crore rupees.
And sir, numbers for Exotech and WPI?
In terms of margin, we please see us from a console perspective rather than seeing the subsidiary. So we delivered a console number, and I think we always guiding on the same. Rather focusing on the individual company, let us focus on the console as yes.
Amit, as we've said earlier, we have a strategy of cross-selling products, so we take a decision whether to sell these products through SAS or through Exotech. So that gives us that leverage in terms of a competitive advantage. So we've said this before. So please look at this as an integrated business moving forward, where we are focused on growth and expansion of margins or maintenance of margins.
Sure, sir. Sir, one observation is that basically on a Q-on-Q basis, Exotech and WPI combined revenues increased by about 9%, but the EBITDA margin has declined by approximately 125 basis points. So what factors contributed to this decline?
So as I've said in my earlier calls, you know, we are winning a lot of new businesses both at Waltertech and Exotech. So there are some new technologies started. We started some painting business in Exotech. We started some new generation technologies at Waltertech. And what I've maintained is that when you ramp up any new product, there could be a temporary blip of a very small number in terms of EBITDA margins. So we are not worried about that. So anytime that you start a new project, you do a lot of trials. Those parts don't go to the customer. You bear the material cost, you bear the manufacturing cost for those parts. So this is just a temporary blip. But on the long term, as I said, on a consolidated basis, we are still guiding that we'll maintain a EBITDA margin of 25% for our group companies.
Sure, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Yash Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my question on the margin dent in case of the subsidies is already answered. So I just wanted to know if you could provide the breakup of revenue across segments in the standalone business between two-wheelers, PVs, consumer durables.
So yes, we have informed in our presentation. If you have read the investor presentation, we have given the segment-wise turnover.
That split is across the consolidated numbers. So I just wanted a split on the standalone basis.
So standalone broadly for the quarter, our two-wheeler, we don't normally we try and avoid giving you guidance on specific numbers across segments because it's a very sensitive matter. But any other question you have on this topic, I mean, largely or broadly answering you, two-wheeler is roughly about 50% of our sales of our standalone business.
Okay, okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Goel from Riddhish Abode Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks sir for taking my question. Sir, can you, you know, in this quarter, actually if you see the ramp up of some key customers have been slow, right? So can you...
Sorry, I didn't hear you. Could you repeat that, please?
No, I said if you look at, you know, in the water pack side, right? I mean, if you look at your key customers, the ramp up has been slow because of your election. This quarter has been slow, right? Despite that, you've reported a good sales, right? So going forward, can you give us a sense on, in terms of ramp up of programs, will this run rate continue to improve?
You're talking specifically for water pack?
Yes, water pack, yeah.
Yeah, so water pack, we continue winning large businesses, so it's a new business that we acquired now close to 1 year since we acquired this business. So we are building businesses across customers. So outlook is very strong, and at the moment a lot of development activity happening. You know, there's a lead time here because tooling takes about 8 to 9 months to develop tooling and validate parts. So that's typically when these programs start. So we have new programs that are starting from October this year to next year, June. So there are a whole lot of programs that we've already been won. So already awarded.
My question was actually more guided towards one vehicle which your customer is going to launch, right? I don't want to name the customer, but a key vehicle which one big customer in water pack is going to launch. I think you have a decent content there, right? In terms of...
Yeah.
So that is it, right? That you know, that the coming quarter will see that benefit. I mean, second quarter, third quarter, you'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are, so while we are secret about it, but yes, there are there's a big launch or a very significant launch from a customer happening, which should happen soon. Hello?
So the line of the current participant in the question queue seems to have disconnected. May we move on to the next question?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Alpha Curate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So in this quarter, on a standalone business, we have seen a significant expansion of the operating margin. It is around 250 bps. So will this margin will sustain?
So as I say, I answered this partly earlier. So look at us as a consolidated entity, because we today have built that flexibility in the company to address the needs of a customer across our various group companies. So ASGS margin, water pack margin, and Exotech margin are all completely interlinked. But yes, our business at SES continues to grow strongly, and the margins are sustainable. So if you look at our history, we've been close to about 50% EBITDA margin of SES for the last many, many years. So that continues to remain that way.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. The line of the current participant in the question queue seems to have disconnected. May we move on to the next question?
Okay.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Abhash Podar from Ionis Alpha Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, in the presentation, we said that the two-wheeler industry has grown by 28%, whereas our growth is around 12%. This seems lower than the industry trend. So anything to call out here, because last year, obviously, we did better than the industry. So is it just a timing phenomenon, or is there anything else to it? If you could just talk a bit about that, please.
Your voice is, there's a little bit of echo, so I can't hear you so well. So could you just read the first part of your question? You're talking about what, the two-wheeler industry?
Yeah, I'm talking about the two-wheeler industry growth. I'm saying in the presentation, yeah, you've said that the industry growth is 20% and our growth is 12% odd. So just trying to understand, is there anything to call out here since our growth is not higher than the industry?
No, nothing really. So this is just a seasonality that you have when new models get launched. So sometimes the customer scales down the existing products. So we've already won. There's a very strong order intake for the new models that are already ordered to us. The customer will launch it. So nothing very significant. It varies quarter to quarter, but overall, our two-wheeler industry growth has been quite significant. From the last year, if you see, we've grown very strongly, and our numbers, so close to about the industry grew at about 10%, and we grew our two-wheeler business about 20%, broadly. So that was the growth last year. So we doubled the industry growth, FY23-24. And 25, this quarter, as I said, we've got multiple new businesses across all our key customers. We don't supply to Hero, but our growth with Bajaj, Royal Enfield, Honda, TVS, all has been very strong in terms of new or successor models that are coming in. So they will get launched, and I think this will normalize during the course of the year.
So just to clarify, if I were to extend this for the entire year for FY25, you would be confident of the fact that you will grow 1.5x of the industry growth for two-wheeler as well for FY25? Would that be then a fair assumption?
So in my previous commentaries, I have said that as a company, we'll grow 1.5x the growth rate of the industry, that is two-wheeler and four-wheeler combined. Separately, the two-wheeler industry growth will be more in line with the organic growth of the industry, and we will outperform the automotive industry because we've added a lot of new generation products, which are very high-value premium products that are being launched. So on a blended basis, we'll outperform the industry volumes by 1.5x in terms of our sales revenue, which we have delivered. Two-wheeler will continue to be organic rate of growth, as I said earlier, of the industry.
Thank you. Thanks for this. And just lastly, if you could just update on the cover glass, where are we now? How close are we to delivering, and any guidance on revenue that you would have for that cover glass opportunity? That's it from my side.
Yeah. So cover glass continues to be work in progress. So we've got ISO certification. There's a requirement for some. It's a very critical part. So there are standards that you need to meet. So our company has been awarded the ISO certification that has been extended to cover glass. We are continuing to engage with customers. And as I said in the last quarter, we expect to get our first purchase order for this business within this quarter, and we will start supplying in a phased manner. So everything going as per plan.
Thank you very much, and all the very best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from AlfAccurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. But in standalone business, this quarter growth was around 6% YoY. So what is your growth target for the standalone business, and what would be the main driver for the near term and the longer term?
Abhishek, your voice is echoing a little bit, but what I understood is that you want to know what is our growth target for the organic standalone business, right?
Yeah.
So as I said, maintain we'll grow 1.5x the industry growth rate, which is performing well, and we continue to win new businesses. Our export businesses are performing well. We are engaging with some bidding for some very large businesses, which we hope to get some news in the next few months. So the outlook is very optimistic, but the guidance still remains at 1.5x the industry growth rate.
Okay. And how much is the current contribution from the consumer durables, sir, in revenue?
For standalone or consolidated?
On consolidated basis.
So the consumer goods has contributed 21% in the total revenue.
How the mix will change in the coming days?
So as we said, we've already done a large amount of rebalancing thanks to this strategic acquisition that we've done, both of Exotec and Waterpik, which has increased our four-wheeler revenue. So they are equally balanced. So I would imagine this trend will continue because even the export market growth that we see will happen more in the four-wheeler segment and the consumer segment. So two-wheeler is largely the India play, which will continue to grow organically. In terms of product mix, I would imagine that we are already equal weight in terms of two-wheeler and four-wheeler, and consumer is about 22%, and then there are a whole lot of other segments that we are working on to add to expand the market even further.
Okay, sir. And my last question on the your guidance on the consolidated margin, that is around 25%. But in this quarter, you have already done a 26%. Despite that, lower margin from subsidiary side, and most probably that the subsidiary margin will start to improve from here on with the ramp up of the new business. So, can we expect another 100 and 150 bps of the margin expansion? And it will stand around 26.5 or 27% in the coming days.
So as I said in my earlier call, we are not so worried about EBITDA margin because we have demonstrated a resilient quality that we have to maintain margins around 25%. I am now looking at a new orbit of growth for the company in terms of new technologies, new products. So growth is the driver here. We will launch new technology products. In the short term, that could impact EBITDA margins because we will do a lot of development in-house trials before we launch these products. Once we launch the cover glass, of course, there will be extensive trials that are done across various stages. Now, they cost money which impact the P&L statement. So, EBITDA margin, my guidance remains at 25% considering all these factors.
Thank you, sir. That's what I said.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Yash from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and sir, congratulations once again for a great quarter. I just want to understand on your passenger vehicle business, the industry has grown by about 6%, but you know, you've grown by 90% on a consolidated basis. So what is driving this growth? And you know, I'm just trying to understand how you're able to outperform the industry by this margin.
So basically, this is in the large part contributed by the Waterpack acquisition that we did. So that is primarily a four-wheeler business. And that has contributed to that large growth in the four-wheeler segment. But on the standalone basis also, we have done some very good businesses in the PV segment. So SGS grew by close to about 40% with new business wins from our customers, new generation products. For example, Tata now has introduced a secret to lit steering wheel logo on their vehicles. So this is the first that they will do, first for the industry, which SGS launched. So that has contributed to our sales. Plus, Exotech has commenced mass production for companies for their customers. So Mahindra new models, their Black Edition, their XUV, 3XO, so all of these. So very strong wins in our passenger vehicle market, and that's what I've been guiding, that now that our product portfolio for four-wheelers is very robust and very high-value products, so the future growth of the company, four-wheeler market will play an important role in our growth. And even for the export market, so four-wheeler is the dominant market outside India, and our forays in the export businesses also will help grow our four-wheeler revenues even further.
Right, right. And so, I mean, you know, just sort of a best case estimate, how do you think the industry will grow this year if I just combine a two-wheeler passenger vehicle and you know, all the other segments? Do you think industry can grow by 12 to 15% in volume this year?
No, so you guys are better placed than me because you track all these companies. But the view that we have from our customers is that passenger vehicles, there was an issue of inventory lying at dealer points close to about 55 days in the last quarter, which I believe is being rationalized now. Then we have the festive season coming, which could boost sales. There are good rains, so that should improve demand in the rural sector. So one would imagine that the industry would keep pace. My bet would be that two-wheeler, which has grown about 19%, could be, our estimates are a little lower in terms of growth of the two-wheeler market. But four-wheeler should catch up because they are at a low thanks to the new launches. So we will wait and watch and see. But as I said, our strategy as a company is no matter which segment grows or not, we are diversified in the product that we address to the markets, and for us, the four-wheeler growth is primarily on account of premiumization and new product launches, And that is driving growth. While we are of course pegged to the industry growth, let's say, but we outperform the industry growth in a significant manner because of this new generation product that we are doing.
Right. And so last question is that...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting for their turn.
Sure.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jain from Axis Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Congratulations to the team for a good set of numbers. Sir, my question is...
Rakesh, you need to be a little bit louder.
Sure.
The current participant seems to have been disconnected. May we move on to the next question, sir?
Yeah, please.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I've got three questions. First is a follow-up to a previous participant's question. So in the two-wheelers, we seem to have lagged the industry growth. And you mentioned that that's largely to do with certain models being ran down. But given that some of our key customers in two-wheelers have reported very good Q1 growth, so is that the only reason or is there... somewhat, maybe in some of the models, we've lost some business? That's question one. Question two is, we recently got to see some of the planned EV model launches for one of our major passenger vehicle clients. So one thing I noticed was they don't have metallic logos for their EV portfolio. Rather, they have plastic or glass logos which get lightened up. So are we supplying such parts to them? And if not, do we see a risk to certain part of revenue if more and more models start coming in this new kind of logo? And third is a more generic industry level question in terms of production schedules that's being shared by the OEMs. How are you seeing the demand? Because July particularly seems to have been quite weak across the industry.
Okay, so let me take them one by one. So your first question was two-wheeler growth, whether there is something that needs to be, I mean, that I've already answered that question earlier from a participant. So we continue to win large businesses. We have not lost the business in two-wheelers, so everything is as per plan. Now, we don't supply to all the models. So while the companies do report growth, for example, I don't supply to Hero MotoCorp, but I supply to some customers. Now, depending on within the specific customer, I would not like to call out separate customers, but some models have not done so well in terms of demand in this quarter. In some models, there is a change that they are launching a new model. So we have businesses that are awarded to us, and these will come into production maybe this month or next month. So it's purely a product mix issue, nothing to do specifically with the industry or our trend, which I say that whatever the two-wheeler organic growth is, we hope to be by and large in line with that for a two-wheeler. The second question you had was on EVs, where you see that in some vehicle you've seen that the content is a little different from the IC engine. So I repeat what I've been saying earlier. So when the competition intensity increases, which is low at the moment in electric two-wheelers, it will increase. So the need for differentiation will be dominant. So, you know, the aesthetic appeal of a product is the key factor for a person buying a vehicle today. Performance is by and large given in terms of what is the range of the battery, what is the performance overall, the ride quality of the bike. So most of these are pretty sorted. So I would imagine that this would normalize and you would have more and more new generation requirements of increased aesthetics in these companies. and that we will see once the volumes increase. So at the moment we already supply to Ola, we supply to Ather. What I said earlier in my calls is that there's a transition that's happening from the conventional speedometer that you had in a two-wheeler to an electric digital cluster. We are already working with Foxconn to supply that to a very major two-wheeler EV manufacturer. So we are ready with the technologies, and depending on the model that they launch and what is the configuration that the stylist has for that particular model, that is defining the content really. But in the long term, I think the value increase on account of the digital cluster that you will have will compensate for something else that you see is different from the IC engine. But always there will be logos and the need for differentiation. So I hope I've answered all the questions. There was a third point which I have forgotten, honestly.
The third was regarding the production schedule you're seeing from OEM, given July was particularly weak across industry segments.
You're talking primarily with respect to two-wheelers?
No, across industry segments, two-wheelers and four-wheelers as well as consumer goods.
So two-wheeler is okay. So we see strong demand and strong partner outlook. Four-wheelers is still picking up. So they are hoping that with these new model launches and the festive season, things should improve. So many customers which reported a little subdued number for this first quarter still maintain that they will catch up the volume that they're planning in the from September onwards. So that's the outlook broadly.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jain from Axis Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again for the opportunity. Sorry, my line got disconnected. So my question was, could you help us remind what are the, priorities now, given that you are doing a lot of stuff and there's a lot of inorganic additions which we have done. And, can you just help us prioritize, what are the areas, which are more from near term and what are some medium to long term opportunities which we have in the kitty? The new customer addition or, the new content, where are you focusing more on the near term and more on the longer term? And I'll take up the second question after that.
Okay, so in the short and the medium term, we see a very strong demand for our products. So capacity expansion at Exotech is on the anvil. We want to grow this very quickly, and the plans are finalized or on final stages of finalization. So expanding capacity at Exotech and Waterpack, that's one agenda or one focus area. The second really is to get the cover glass business started. We have a good engagement with the customer, so getting the business and setting up a new plant for cover glass is on the anvil. So that is again something that we will do over the next 1 to 2 years, and we will start supplies in a phased manner. The third thing in terms of the market really is that we have now a very strong product portfolio, and we are knocking hard on the doors of these global OEMs to crack large global businesses. So that is the third focus area that I have. And as I said, we are very competitive. We benchmark ourselves globally. We have a strong customer connect. We have an impeccable delivery rating, and they respect us for our quality. So we tick all the boxes in terms of the global businesses. Now that we have COVID behind us and then the semiconductor chip shortage behind us, the buyers at these global companies are now looking at launching new models. There were some supply chain constraints that they faced because of some shipping embargoes and some unrest that you see. So the war still continues, but I think it's more getting back to normal. So we are very focused on driving export growth, and that's an area where I think we are making good progress, and hopefully we'll give you some good news in the next quarter.
Great, great. The second question is, how should we look at your business mix? I'm not saying over the 1 year, it's the next 3 years. With consumer durables addition of this large client and the opportunities you are seeing over there, and anything, you know, if you can guide on what new segments you can look at beyond the consumer durable.
Yeah, so as I said, the global automotive market is a very interesting area for us because our parts are very light and easy to ship. I already shipped parts to more than 22 countries, and we have a connect with all the marquee global names. So that is something that we want to drive fast. So if you took off a look for a 3-year perspective for my business, so that's an area that I think will grow. With these technologies that we have, both in terms of the acquisition of Walterpak, we see a large opportunity in consumer businesses using the Walterpak technology that we have now acquired. So we need to grow the Walterpak business both in India and globally. So that's again with a strong runway for growth. The third area that we see is the technologies like medical devices, which has been on our radar. So we've started work with a few companies. We now need to scale that up and take them to the global majors. So that's a new category of product that we will work on. But then with the portfolio of technology that we have now with us and our capability for doing ab initio design and styling, partnering with OEMs, so I think that could be another growth driver in the future. So largely, growth will come from four-wheelers, as I said, in the next 2 to 3 years. Exports will grow to be a larger part of our turnover. So today, 7.5% of my consolidated revenue is exports. My target is to go to almost about 14-15% in the next 3 years. So that is an area that is very exciting for us, and that's what we want to continue to drive.
That's really heartening to know, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amit Hiranandani from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, how is the export situation progressing, and have we begun executing orders for the exotic export orders to the Whirlpool customer?
Yeah, we've started the supplies of chrome-plated parts to Whirlpool. That's one part of your answer question. What are the other question, Amit?
In general, the export situation.
In general, exports is coming back for us. So this quarter, our export revenue on a YOY basis for this quarter grew by about 13%. And overall, we are quite bullish on exports, as I said. Most of these export businesses, there's a lead time from you get awarded to that converting into sale. So I think a big impact would be felt from next year onwards.
So the double-digit growth will continue in exports, right? For FY25?
Yeah, barring some unforeseen circumstances in the global economic scenario. So people are very closely watching what's happening in the US, what's happening in what will happen to this war that's ongoing between in the Middle East. So there are some issues, but overall, the body language of the customers that we see is that they are now, it's more of business as usual, and they are looking at launching new models, which is an opportunity for us to get into new exports, because typically a customer tends to onboard a new supplier based on the new programs that they run. In some cases, if they have a great problem with the incumbent supplier, they may resource it. But largely, the growth is driven by new products and volumes, which, you know, from award to start takes about 6 months to 9 months, depending on the specific program and the customer.
All right. So my second question is basically on the cover glass products, so the revenue potential for this over the next 3 years. And secondly, the debt status presently and the likely we are going to repay it completely or not?
The cover glass, as I said, one day all cars in India will have a large display or a digital display. So that is changing across customers. So even Maruti Suzuki, which was typically focused on a low-cost vehicle, is now moving in that direction. So I think it is basically driven by the end consumer. They would like to have a display, and they would like to have a rear-view camera, infotainment, all bundled together in a large display scheme. It requires a TFT and a cover glass. So I think we are in the absolute right spot. How large the market will be is still to be assessed, but one could imagine that it will start with the high-end cars first, where Mahindra was the first with the XUV 700, then Kia, Hyundai followed with their models, and now I think almost all the customers are asked by the end consumer to introduce large and large displays. So the pace of growth of this business will depend largely on the vehicle configuration that the OEMs have. So the average price, I mean prices vary from the type of display that you have. So typically a large display to a small display with a price point could be from 500 to 5000 rupees. So that's the broad range that you have. And maybe 5% of the cars will start using it, and then 10 and 15 and 20. So it's a long-term game, but it's a lasting technology that will be there for many years. And so it's hard to put a number today, because this is dependent most on how much, what does the OEM do. So at the moment, largely they're imported. People are setting up capacities in-house to do the local bonding. They get the TFT screen and buy cover glass. So localization efforts are on, and depending on the pace of localization that these OEMs demand, I think that will determine the size of the market and how soon does it ramp up to be very significant. Of course, the government policies of making India help, because they will, we expect greater and greater tariff restrictions for fully imported, fully built displays, and that is the reason why OEMs are driven, or for the vehicle manufacturers are driven, to localize this in India, which is good business for us.
And so we'll be supplying this as a tire 2, right? The tire 2 supplier, because our
that's
largest client...
It'll be a tier 2. Many times the OEM oversees this because this is a critical part. But yes, it will be a tier 2 supply. We'll supply to the instrument cluster manufacturers who will integrate this and make integrated display.
And Amit, I'll take your debt questions. The total debt for the quarter one end is 533 million. During this quarter, we have repaid 150 million to the banker, and we have taken the loan for the acquisition of Voltapack, and there is a moratorium for a period of 1 year, so that is going to be over now in quarter two. So you will see that the reduction of this term loan of acquisition in this quarter two. So net debt, total debt is 533 for the quarter end, and we have a cash and cash equivalent is 767 million rupees. So our as on 30th June, our cash position is the net cash position of 234 million.
So that is what we guided the market to also. We generate a large amount of the cash. So the debt that we took for the Voltapack acquisition largely will be repaid in this quarter. So that's what we are.
Great, sir. Great. All the best, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kaushik from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Great set of numbers, sir. My question is related to guidance part. So if I see the current run rate you are clocking, suppose 750 to 800 outputs of revenue, so next year, can we cross 1,000 crores of revenue? That is my first question. And based on the capacity also, how you are building the company for next 3 to 5 years, what is the vision do you have for this company? And how the mix would be changing? Because I see you have onboarded Dixon as a customer, right? So how the mix would be, suppose let's say 3 to 5 years, how do you want the mix to should be? It should be consumer heavy or it will be passenger heavy? What are your thoughts, sir?
So let me answer the last part of your question first. So the future seems extremely optimistic or bright. We are marching to that tune and creating capacities across all our businesses to cater to this increased demand. So we see very strong growth. Coming back to where will we be in terms of numbers, so I would not like to give a guidance. I would say we will see a very strong growth, again growing at close to 1.5 times the industry growth rate. The opportunities or the segment, so we focused strategically on de-risking our business so that over-dependence on any one segment reduces. We've done exceedingly well on this front. FY19, 70% of my revenues came from two-wheelers. Today, two-wheelers is down to about 32% of my business. We are predominantly have pivoted to become a four-wheeler supplier for the simple reason that we saw that the large opportunity outside India is primarily four-wheelers. India, and maybe the ASEAN region are the only two regions outside China where two-wheelers have a meaningful play, and there's a limited content that you can offer to a two-wheeler. I think we are absolutely right. The consumer businesses, I would certainly like to grow. My medical device business, I would like to grow. I would imagine that maybe 25% consumer, close to about 30% two-wheeler, and the rest could come from four-wheelers and exports. As I said, my target is to be at 15% of export revenues on a consolidated basis in the next 3 years. That is the outlook of what I see. Our vision for the company is very simple. We've created a skill set in the organization where we are truly an end-to-end design to delivery company. We have our own styling studio. We have factories within factories handling these multiple technologies, so there is no stress on growth for any one segment. All these are centers of excellence. I think we are very well-structured, well-positioned, and we are expanding capacity. There is no reason why we should not be one of the predominant aesthetic suppliers in the world. The ambition really is to grow the export market, and I think we should be able to crack that. I'm optimistic.
Great, sir. Thank you. Any company do you aspire to become in this aesthetic market? That is my question. Based on the
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn?
Yeah. Just a follow-up this one. This is the second question.
Can you just Hello, sir?
Hello.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hello, sir.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Any company that you wish to aspire to become in this aesthetic segment, that is my question. Based on the assets, how much turnover can we make based on the current capacity? These are my last questions, sir. Thank you.
Two things. There is no role model that we have. We want to be a role model. That is our target. There is no company which does everything that I do. I've stated that. Now if we get that global scale, I think we will be a company that other people want to be, to aspire to be us, not the other way around. That's the vision part of the question. What else was the question?
Capacity. Based on the assets, how much turnover can you make? I mean, how much based on the current capacity?
On capacity front, our SJS, we are currently have around 65%. You can work out what is the number we can achieve. Exotech, we almost achieved. It's running 95%, and that is how we are planning to have expanding and putting more CapEx and then expand. We are going to add more capacity up there. Voltas is somewhere 75% kind of a current running at this level. There is ample amount or ample growth we could able to do. We have ample lands available, and it's more of a construction and adding more machinery. There is a good amount of capacity available in the company.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kaushik. The next question is from the line of Pratit Vajani from Union Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you elaborate a little bit further on this Dixon opportunity as to-
Pratit, can you be a little louder?
Am I audible?
Yeah, now it's better.
Yes, sir. Can you elaborate a little further on this Dixon opportunity, considering that you have not been a part of the telecom space, and even on the consumer side, you are learned, you are yet to fully ramp up on that IML, IMD parts which you acquired with the WPI. What is the technology which you are trying to foray into with Dixon? Can you please-
We have multiple technologies, as you are aware. We are at the moment two business segments of Dixon is what we have won businesses with. One is the telecom segment, and this is the technologies are similar to the product that we already have. So we make a lot of logos, we make a lot of overlays, we make a lot of other aesthetic parts. So these are these parts that we will supply to them. We've also won businesses, targeting businesses with their consumer appliance segment. So they are large contract manufacturers for some companies. And it is a traditional line of business that we have. So for refrigerators and washing machines, we have a whole set of products that we offer. And that is what we'll be offering to Dixon as well. This is just starting. So I think start of a journey or relationship with Dixon. We hope to grow this business along with them.
Okay. So, sir, just to clarify, this would be the new generation products which you highlight in your PPT.
No, new generation products, yeah, it could be partly new generation, old generation. So business is business, right? So our business for new generation products was mostly in terms of the IML-IND technologies that we have, and we have the cover glass and the INE technologies. So those potentials also could exist because these are all futuristic human machine interface technologies. But that, as I said, let's take it one step at a time. It's a good customer to have. We are starting with some products and we hope to grow this because I think the ambition of Dixon and SAS are the same. So we want to grow this business and scale it up.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to the team. A couple of questions from my end. One was, a few years back, we had aspirations to achieve exports 25% of our revenue. And we're stuck in single digits since a long time. So has there been a change in the strategy and focus where we are seeing good potential in the domestic market, so we would want to focus here versus exports? That's one. I know you're knocking on the doors of the global OEMs, like you mentioned. That is one. And second was, by when do you expect the capex that is to be done to commence production, that is for Exotech and for the cover glass? Those two are my questions.
Okay, so very quickly, to answer your question on exports, and we said that it will be 25%. So typically, the exports that we did was from SES. And we were at 19% of SES sales were exports when we went for the IPO in 2021. And that was that context. Since then, we had already acquired Exotech, which was a 100% domestic business. We also acquired Waterpack, which is a 100% domestic business. So with the denominator increasing, the percentage of export on the consolidated revenue came down. But our overall exports, and as yes, when we made that statement, it was that we will be, we were hoping that in the next 3 years in SES, we'll be 25% of our consolidated revenue, which we will still reach based on the target on the product portfolio of products that we added to our portfolio. At the moment, the number that I'm talking about is the consolidated basis where there's close to about 170 crores, 160 crores coming from Exotech and 150-60 crores. So almost 300 crores of the revenue is purely domestic added to the denominator. So what I'm saying is that at the moment 7.5% of my consolidated revenue is in exports, which I hope will grow in the next 3 years to be 15% of my consolidated revenue. So we are...
Can you repeat that? That will be 13-14% going forward?
Sorry?
What is your aspiration for the next 3 years in consolidated level? You said it was 13%. Did I get that right?
Yeah, so 13-15% is what I expected to be. So that's what the new businesses that we are targeting. Of course, we will try to do it more. Our target is really to take our products across the world.
Sure. And on the capacity commencing production, by what year can we expect it, or quarter?
So for the this capacity, you are discussing both for what, cover glass or for Exotech?
Both. Exotech and cover glass.
Okay, cover glass, as I said, we hope that by the end of this quarter, we should have our first order. It will start in a phased manner. So supplies in a meaningful manner will start next year. and the full impact of the revenues would be felt the year after that. So FY26 is when cover class revenues would start to make a significant impact on our revenues. And ExoTech, of course, we expect by quarter one of next year, the capacity should be on steam and we should be able to augment and that should be operational.
So FY26 both should be online and showing some revenue at least at a 50% capacity. Is that fair enough understanding?
Absolutely. Yes.
Great. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sahil Rohit Sangvi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity and excellent set of numbers, sir. Sir, any update on the inorganic side of the acquisitions? I mean, are we exploring a couple of assets? What is the update on that?
So absolutely. So inorganic is an integral part of our strategy. So as you would know by now, we are debt averse. So we don't like taking debt. So we just finished the acquisition of Walterpack, which we and we will hopefully repay the debt that we took for this acquisition by the end of the quarter. We hope that we will generate, I mean, we are already generating a large amount of free cash. So we will shore up revenues and by the end of this financial year, we should again have a corpus available with strong cash generation abilities. So I think sometime in next year is when we would like to do this. But as you know, inorganic acquisitions, we are not in the business for acquiring companies just for the sake of acquiring. They have to have synergies. We should be able to get a good strategic fit and get it at a good price. So the strike rate of companies that we explore, so hit rate is maybe about 10%. So if I look at 10 companies, maybe I zero in on one company. So we are in the process, but as I said, we are in no hurry. We have close to 1 year while we accumulate cash on the side to zero in on the right target.
Right, sir. No, that makes sense. I mean, we would appreciate you make justice to the acquisitions like you did from Walterpack and exiting. And one last question is that, sir, for Foxconn, do we right now, what do we supply right now? I mean, apart from what we're trying to cover glass, anything else, what do we do right now?
Yes, Foxconn, they make a display for an EV and we have the technology or we have some special technologies for the display and that is what we supply. So it's a sort of a cover glass or a two-wheeler EV.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's call. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to respond to all your questions adequately. For any further information, we request you to please do get in touch with our investor relations team. Stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you once again for joining with us.
On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.